Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck, and I am the host of this show. Jerry Lee Miller is my guest this evening. Jerry is very knowledgeable about fracking, which is a method of drilling into reservoir rock formations in order to increase the extraction recovery rate of oil and natural gas. It does sound benign, but it isn't. Recently, on April the 20th of this year, on the anniversary of the BP oil spill, thousands of gallons of so-called fracking fluid spilled following an accident at a natural gas well in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania. Many people in PA have contaminated wells, and that's water wells, and when a match is lit next to the water, it catches fire. Now, Jerry and I will be discussing creating a lifestyle that honors the earth. And we want to keep this as positive as we can in light of great negativity. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Jerry Lee Miller. Hello, Jerry.
Hi, Kate. How you doing?
How are you?
Can you hear me?
There's a little bit of a connection problem. I wonder what that's all about.
Huh.
Are you there? Okay, I hear you.
Yeah, I'm here. I've got another phone I could use if this doesn't work. I don't know if this is the problem.
Oh,
but
there you go. Whatever you did, I can hear you better.
Okay.
If
well, I was going to say that I love your opening music.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed that. I found myself here just opening up from the inside, just like a flower opening up before the sunlight.
Well, the music is a friend of mine, whose house beach is the music is called Music, Mother and Child, and he is a composer, and also he does hear beautiful music. And the idea is that the music is played in antepartum units, where in Denmark is where he's from. And in units where women are in preterm labor, and this music helps them relax. And
oh yeah, I believe that. That's very relaxing.
Yeah.
And a sense of opening is what I had from that music, just a gentle opening.
Wow.
Which is what Bertha it should be, right?
Exactly. Thank you. We are. Some people know more about fracking than others, and as a matter of fact, some people know nothing. Most people know nothing about it. And you don't want to be called an expert in this, and I understand that, because it's probably, as you had said earlier, there's things that are being revealed every day that, help you to understand what's going on. So my husband and I, Tom, were talking earlier, and he was saying that Great Britain has a system for fracturing that uses pressurized carbon dioxide that is not harmful to the water supply or to the environment. And I'm just wondering, why don't we use something like that here? I mean, to extract oil and natural gas, or do you know about that? And do you think that it's harmless, that kind of thing that they use in Great Britain? Maybe
well, I don't know anything about that. But what I'd like to talk about, if we're going to talk about fracking, is water, because the way that the hydraulic fracturing, which we call fracking, which kind of sounds like a dangerous drug, don't let your kids get on frack. But
right.
Anyhow, when a gas well, a natural gas well, is fracked, it requires 4 to 8 million gallons of water for each frack. And we don't yet know how many times one well can be fracked. So imagine that. And all of that water is coming from somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's coming according to my statistics, the Susquehanna River Basin Commission has approved the withdrawal of over 114 million gallons per day. That's from the Susquehanna River. 90% of that water, once it's it goes down below the ground, more than a mile deep, and 90% of that water, which is mixed with many toxic chemicals, never returns. It stays underground as contaminated underground water and doesn't return to the water cycle. Of course, we don't know about migration. But then the 10% that returns to the surface is very contaminated, and that needs to be treated with special care, which isn't always the case. Mm-hmm. So there's more about that I could say. But, I think water is just such a precious resource, and the most precious resource we have.
Well, I understand, however, that the Lancaster, where we live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Jerry Lee Miller lives in my hometown in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I understand that the water supply will be shifting from the Conestoga River, which flows by our house, to the Susquehanna River, which is where a lot of this fracking is being done. It sounds to me that that's not a very, well, to be, that the water supply that we will soon be drinking out of from the Susquehanna River that will be supplying our area will be very dangerous.
Yeah, actually, almost half of our drinking water supply to Lancaster City and the immediate suburbs, supplying 110,000 people, almost half of it now comes from the Susquehanna. More mm-hmm. comes from the Conestoga, and that's going the proportions are going to shift. That's the plan, anyhow, that they have. And you're right. There already has been some concerns locally in Lancaster, and we've had some special water testing has been conducted to determine whether or not some of the toxic chemicals or the radioactive elements that are dislodged from under the ground were showing up yet in the water. And so far they have not, but the city of Lancaster continues to do testing for a variety of reasons because they have great concern. And guess who pays for all this extra testing that everybody is doing? It's not the natural gas companies. The things that we have to do to find out whether we're in danger, whether that's somebody that has a water well that's close to a fracking operation, or somebody that's on the waterways that gets their water through a municipality, we all are having to pay for our own water testing. So among other things, there are a lot of expenses related to this that go on the public shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Where is the nearest fracking operation related to Lancaster, Pennsylvania?
That's a good question. I can't answer that. I know that the Marcellus Shale region, which runs underneath the large share of Pennsylvania and up into New York and down into Maryland, West Virginia, it goes above State College somewhere, and then goes off towards the northeast, and then it also expands towards the northwest as well, and then goes down to Pittsburgh. So it encompasses a good share of the western part of the state. But you hear a lot about Bradford County and Susquehanna County is a couple of places in Pennsylvania that seem to be hotbeds of fracking.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you know what the ramifications were for the spill in Wellsboro, Pennsylvania? Or is that too soon because that really wasn't that long ago, and maybe we don't know the total. Obviously, we wouldn't know the total ramifications of that.
Well, I believe is that the spill that was attributed to Chesapeake, the natural gas company Chesapeake.
Yes, I think I read that. I did read that. Yes.
Yeah. One of the ramifications is all that water that gets in the Susquehanna eventually goes to the Chesapeake Bay.
That's right.
Goes down into Maryland, and the Attorney General of the state of Maryland has sued them for damages.
Good.
I don't know what the status of that suit is, but Maryland seems to have a little more sense than Pennsylvania does about this.
Well, as well as New York shutting down fracking in the state. Is that something that you understood as well?
Right, right. Pennsylvania is like the Wild West of fracking right now.
Oh, well, isn't that because of our illustrious Governor Corbett has absolutely no consciousness whatsoever about anything, but when it comes to this particular issue, I guess the fracking companies are in his back pocket. He's like being paid off by the major corporations of this deal, and he doesn't have any kind of idea. Well, of course, the people voted him in, and that is the truth of it, so... I say the same about Governor Walker in Wisconsin. I mean, the people voted him in. So we have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a huge
issue.
Protesting.
It touches on so many different things.
It does. It does. Well, you know, remedies to this situation. You had just mentioned before we went live here on air that some of the young people who are, there's probably more of a movement of young people involved in this, and it's a growing number, I hope, that have just visited, did you say, the Marcellus Shale, and we're talking to the people in the area to educate them?
Yeah, I think it's, I think all ages there are a number of people who are getting actively involved in it. A lot of people who've never been what you would call activists in other issues simply because either of the circumstances of the drilling being near to them and they're starting to feel themselves or see the effects, or you know, people who just are shaken up by it like I have been. The more I've learned about it, the more I've just felt compelled to act. But your question was there was a group of a few young folks, I guess they were all kind of in their late 20s, I would say, that have a relationship to Transition Lancaster, which is a local group that I'm quite actively involved in, and we have a working group, an anti-fracking working group, and they decided that they wanted to actually take a trip up north to the Marcellus Shale country, where a lot of the fracking is being done, and just talk to people and see for themselves. They've taken a lot of photographs, a lot of interviews, and I haven't not yet had a chance to talk to all of them because they just returned, but I did send out an email, and Sarah Henry, one of the young women who went, wrote back to me, and she starts out, "This is a crisis." Well, I think I already knew that, but I think she probably feels that at a depth of her being now that those of us who haven't seen it firsthand don't feel. But there's one thing in particular that stood out for me. She said, "I spoke mm-hmm. with a gentleman who runs a water treatment facility in Susquehanna County, not equipped to handle frac flowback. Some water treatment facilities, most of them, just aren't equipped to treat the frac flowback." What that means is that, like I said earlier, that of these millions of gallons of water that go into the ground, 90% stays down there, but 10% comes back up. So that's mm-hmm. what they call frac flowback, and it has, it also has a considerable amount of toxicity because of the chemicals that are in it. And plus, there's a naturally occurring radioactive materials in the ground, and this process dislodges some of that, so that comes back too.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, she's talking about she had a conversation with the man who runs a water treatment facility in Susquehanna County, and he has said on 6 different occasions, after nights when it had not rained, his treatment plant was full of water. This has never happened to him before.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention when you call the Susquehanna River Basin Commission, they tell you some of the, quote, brine water is treated at sewer treatment facilities. So she says you give them every detail of a well pad, its location and so on, to find out if that has been treated, and they cannot tell you where that brine is treated. So even though you give the Susquehanna River Basin Commission detailed information about a particular well, they don't really know. They aren't able to track it. But that, to me, the fact that all of a sudden at night, this fellow who runs a treatment facility comes to work the next morning and there's water there, you know, quote water, which that implies to me that maybe somebody is surreptitiously dumping that water.
And it is contaminated, you say?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, it's totally contaminated.
Yes, the chemicals, a lot of them are carcinogens, and they're...
methane gas, right? Methane gas is the main, well, probably many, many carcinogenic substances, but methane gas, isn't that one of the biggies?
Well, the chemicals that I'm talking about are actually, they're put there by the natural gas companies and into this mixture, you know, in the fracking. So it's not just water, but there's quite a considerable amount of chemicals. And then the methane gas is more or less a byproduct of the fracking. So that when water wells are contaminated with the methane, that is coming, you know, from the process coming up. It wasn't something that they put in the water or in their fracking fluid, but it's a more or less a byproduct, a dangerous byproduct of this process.
I have a friend here in the chat room that's affiliated with the Blog Talk Radio, and she is working at a hotel in Pennsylvania that's up towards Pittsburgh, and she says that there's a lot of gas wells going up, and that many of the workers who are the people who are putting up those gas wells are staying at the hotel where she works at. Now, the question that comes to my mind about that, just sort of spontaneously, is how dangerous is that kind of work for the people who are, you know, putting in the gas wells?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. Hopefully they're well trained in how to handle things that, you know, if it gets in their system, it's not going to be very friendly to them. I don't really have any information on that.
Well, don't you think it kind of reminds you of the people who work at nuclear power plants kind of thing? I don't know anything about it either. I mean, I know much less about it than you would, but it just seems like it would be dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah, well, no doubt.
Toxicity, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's housing a lot of the workers, which implies that the workers are coming from out of the area. They're not local workers.
Absolutely.
One of the things that they trumpet is, oh, all the jobs that Pennsylvania's getting. But so many of the workers come from companies down in Texas and other places where they've been trained. You have to have special training to do what they're doing.
And yeah.
So a lot of the work, well-paid work, is being done by people who will take their money out of the state when they're done with their work.
I'm going to quickly ask Carol if they've told her where they're from. Just a minute. But I can do two things at once. I understand that Texas, and you just mentioned Texas, that they have a long history of fracking, and of course their waterways and the water that the people drink are completely contaminated. And New Mexico, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to Carol.
No.
Texas has a longer history of fracking than Pennsylvania does.
Okay. Carol says that the workers, many of the workers, are from Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So there blows the theory of giving local work to the local people. Isn't that ridiculous?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that just is irritating. There's so many lies that the government likes to, you know, it's like, I had a person on my show last week. We were revealing a lot of things that about the FDA, for instance, and the government agencies that are supposed to be protecting the people but really are not. And what it comes down to is there's so much going on that you don't even know. It's overwhelming, so much going on that where the people are lied to. And my vision is that I assume that not too far off in the future that the people of the United States, maybe across the whole globe, are going to be so completely down on the government that they won't even have any kind of power anymore.
Well, that maybe is an opening for me to shift the conversation a little bit, and that is to... if I might, to talk about the Transition Town movement. And
yes, please do.
I'm actually walking outside into my backyard right now. It's kind of neat to be interviewed by telephone because I can walk outside.
Yeah.
And I can hear water flowing in my backyard, and I know that it's pure water because I have a little 400-gallon pond with a pump that has a continuous waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm enjoying the fact
that... I actually hear that.
Can you
hear
it?
I hear it. So it sounds very lovely. Yes.
It does. Yeah, it is lovely. It's local water. but anyhow, you talked about depending on the government, and one of the ideas of the Transition Town movement is that with some of the massive environmental dangers that are happening, and with climate change being one. And the fact that we are running out of fuel, we're running out of oil. We've probably passed the peak of that.
Mm-hmm.
Financial instability and so on. But our problems are not going to be solved for us by the government. If anything, mm-hmm. maybe they're compounded. But one thing we can do is we can join together in local communities, and we can learn how to live in relationship with each other and with the locality where we're at, and with the type of plants that are native to our area and the animals that are here, and to develop more local business and local ways of living, that is really where the power can be for people, is to
mm-hmm.
learn how to live more locally. And with the thought that probably, I don't know what's going to happen for sure, but there are changes, massive changes that are happening. It just makes more sense to me to do as much as I can in the local environment, local arena, to build relationships, whether
yes.
Relationships with people or, with just the community,
mm-hmm.
kind of learn who's here and what's here.
And how is Transition Lancaster something that's gaining ground and getting more interest and get people getting excited about that?
Yeah, we've actually been going for, I guess, a year and a half or so. So we're still pretty young here. But the Transition Town movement is widespread throughout the nation, and it actually began in the British Isles. And there are hundreds of local initiatives, hundreds of them. What we try to do, we've had a lot of emphasis on local growing of local food and preserving the foods. We've had a number of workshops on what we call preserving the harvest, and
mm-hmm.
we're partnering with Eastern Market in Lancaster City to do several workshops this summer. And those workshops can be listed. You can find them at Eastern Market's website or at Transition Lancaster's website. You can go to our Facebook page, or we have a website, and find some of that information. Part of the transition idea is what they call the great reskilling, where we learn to do things that two or three generations ago were just matter of fact. You know, people could do things, but you know, my generation is kind of a generation that forgot how to do everything. we've depended on things that are not sustainable. So, a lot of basic skills, including food preservation, growing your own food, you know, taking care
organically,
of...
Organically.
Yeah, right. So... Anyhow,
what does Transition Lancaster say about the Monsanto seeds and so forth? That how they cross pollinate organic farms and such. That's what we were talking about last week's show.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, we'd be against that.
heirloom seeds,
you know, open pollinating seeds are the way to go. I mean. You know, again, it's being able to be in control locally, you know, rather than having, a multinational corporation or big government or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a natural gas or a BP or a Monsanto, you know, they're all kind of the same ilk, it seems like.
Yeah,
it
does.
And it can get pretty depressing.
Yeah, I mean, I like to speak more about solutions, which I like the Transition Lancaster idea, where everybody across the nation would get more involved locally and think, you know, get involved locally and think globally. The one way to avoid cross-pollination with Monsanto seeds, for instance, would be to grow a lot of things more in greenhouses. So that would be, that would be one way to combat that problem.
Mm-hmm.
But it just seems a shame. I think that they should just be banned. Like New York has banned fracking. I think that we need to ban Monsanto. And it just seems like all these things are coming to a head at this time, and I have heard that pretty soon, and really, with the end of the Mayan calendar, that it's not a catastrophe, that what's going to happen is that the Renaissance period will rise up, and all of these forces of complete, catastrophe will recede. But that's something I've heard as far as prediction goes, and I like to think that that's true.
Mm-hmm. Well, who
so
knows?
What you're talking
I mean,
about
sometimes chaos
kind of...
precedes creation, right?
And yes, absolutely.
That's kind of a biblical pattern in
yes,
the beginning.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it may be.
I saw the movie Peak Oil, and I was really impressed by that whole thing about how Cuba was with the oil embargo. And,
that's a great film. Uh-huh, I saw that too. We showed that actually through Transition Lancaster.
Yes, and I think I may have seen it through that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Well, just, what impressed me was like my aha takeaway thing from that movie was that, first of all, to think of withdrawing all support from the Cuban people, I thought that they would perish. Well, in reality, they all did exactly what you're describing, with people coming together and coming up with, everybody
mm-hmm.
helping each other with organic
Yeah, actually,
farms.
I think the film was called The Power of Community, but I think we're talking about the same film.
Oh, my gosh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
And one of the, it's one really great part of the film of a Cuban household, a Cuban man or a Cuban woman sweeping out the home every day. Just so peaceful and meditative, you know. There's not a lot of machinery. You know, there's no machinery. There's nothing, no electricity anywhere. So it must be very silent.
Yeah. We actually, what is our greatest resource? It's one another. It's community. That's what I believe.
Yes.
So I'm out here in my backyard in my bare feet, Kate.
Cool.
Because that's the way I like to be. We're talking about honoring the earth, and you know, it occurred to me, if somebody wants to live in a way that honors the earth, a lot of how you're going to end up interpreting that is in whatever way you think of the earth. You know, do you think of the earth as a thing or a pile of resources or as a who?
Or as a mother, huh?
Yeah, as our mother, as a living being. And that's how I'm coming to think of the earth as a living being, you know, as one entity that I can have a relationship with. So one way that I like to do that is to actually feel the earth with my bare feet, stand out here. And one of the things I like to do besides walk around in my bare feet is to bring my Native American flute outside.
Oh, good.
Put my bare feet on the ground so I have that connection with earth's energy. And then I take my flute and I play and just try to play some type of a melody that comes to me that feels like I'm in relationship with it, all the things that are growing out here. And it's almost like a prayer in a sense. So I was wondering if I could try doing that while we're on the telephone.
Do this experiment, right?
Okay,
go for it.
It'll either be fun or it'll be fun. So
it'll
that
be
means
fun
I have to
fun.
Put my phone down because I don't have one of those fancy things to stick around my head.
No problem.
Okay, so here goes.
That was beautiful, and I heard everything. It sounded very well, you know.
Oh,
it came
good.
Through very
good.
Well.
Okay, could you hear the birds singing? I have some singing birds here, but probably I was right over the receiver, so probably all you heard was me. But that birds
say,
are out
really
here singing.
Didn't really hear the birdies, but I would think that the music would bring the birds very close by. And a number of other little animals and creatures would also come by in curiosity as well, I would definitely think.
Well, the birds seem to like it. I haven't heard any, the rabbits haven't said anything one way or the other, but I think they must like it.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Oh, it really is beautiful. So I think that music is a beautiful way to honor the earth, and we were talking about honoring the earth, and walking barefoot on the earth is just a way to communicate, and being outside a lot is a way to really feel the beautiful power and the lovely nurturing of the earth. And we live by the Conestoga River. I would like to have you come out here sometime and sit by the river and just watch the water go by. It's just
yeah, I was out there one time when you weren't home or you were asleep or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably asleep. I miss a lot with this night work, but anyway.
Yeah, our mutual friend Paul took me over there.
Yes, and the beauty of nature and the hanging out by a beautiful tree and communicating with the earth. And telling, and also the waterways, when the BP oil spill occurred, I suddenly got this idea to start a video blog and went down into the water with Ulysses and showed...
Ulysses is your dog, right?
Yeah.
Maybe everybody knows that.
Not everybody probably knows that, but probably a lot of people do by now. And Ulysses in the water, his way of communing with the water is very special, and it's neat to watch animals in nature, and the water is so precious. And to think that some major corporation would have no sensitivity to the importance of not only water for our health and well-being and our actual ability to live. But I don't understand that. I don't understand that consciousness. And we can't change it.
No,
but we can change ourselves.
We can, yeah. Well, you know, there's a verse in Scripture that says the love of money is the root of all evil.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that applies to a lot of what we see in the world today. It's just blindness by greed. And,
yeah, I would say the greedy part, what these major corporations are all dictated by greed, and that is evil.
Mm-hmm.
But money itself is not evil. It's just a piece of paper. It's just an energy that can do great good in the world. But what we're seeing is this greed is doing great good. Danger, creating quite a lot of danger in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very destructive,
mm-hmm.
very destructive.
Mm-hmm.
So, were you aware of about a month ago? There's an organization called, maybe I mentioned this to you before, organization called American Rivers, and every year they determine what the most endangered rivers in the country are, and,
mm-hmm.
and they announce what the, you know, they're those that are designated and why. And this year, they determined that the Susquehanna was named the most endangered river in our nation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it's quite a shock to read that. But basically, what they're doing is they're giving us a warning,
mm-hmm.
and the endangerment is solely because of the natural gas drilling and the environmental hazards that fracking is wreaking. And right now there are only 3,300 Marcellus shale wells in Pennsylvania, but
mm-hmm.
they're projecting eventually 180,000 wells. I don't know where they're going to get all that water. If they get there, let's hope and pray that they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But the Susquehanna is the largest river east of the Mississippi, and it provides water for millions of people throughout the state.
Well, as you mentioned, though, it does flow into the Chesapeake Bay, which people have been trying to clean up the Chesapeake for years and years and years, and they are very enlightened about trying to preserve the waterway there. And if they think that there's all of this ignorant, just a disrespect for the waterways here that is directly affecting them, as you had said earlier in the show, that this could be a force to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
I mean, since nobody's listening here.
We need to do what we can to raise our voices now. a lot of people who've gotten deeply into this have grown, have fallen into despair when they see the overwhelming problem and the power of the people who really are have all the money and the resources.
I'm just thinking
and
of something
to have
very
our government right now.
This is an interesting idea. Since the people in Pennsylvania seem to have absolutely no consciousness about what is going on here, it would be very, very interesting to appeal instead to the people down in the Chesapeake Bay.
Well, they certainly are well aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the
mm-hmm.
Attorney General of Maryland has already filed suit, and so they're aware of it. You can bet they're aware of everything that's going on and the potential. So,
yes.
Well, I'm a songwriter, as you may know, and actually, when I heard the news about the Susquehanna being named the most endangered river, I wrote a song. I call it Susquehanna Lament, and I'm wondering if I might be able to try to do that song for you.
I would love it.
I had the honor with.
There's a lot of people in the chat room now. There's a lot of.
Oh, is there?
My friends are there, and I think. Yes, please, please, please. It would be wonderful.
Okay, now I'm back inside because I needed to come back inside for this. I had the opportunity, the honor, Sunday, our group Street Beats played at Indian Steps, which is across the Susquehanna on the west shore
mm-hmm.
in southern York County, central southern York County. So right on the Susquehanna, and in that area that honors our native people. So it was quite a moving thing to do this song there, Susquehanna Lament. And I'm going to play the flute, and then I'm going to sing the song. So I guess this is what you would call another experiment. Are you
ready?
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Say a prayer for the river keepers
Ancient spirit, now draw near. This is not the way it was before, when the native peoples first found this shore. I can't stand what has been done. Oh, my Susquehanna, lovely Susquehanna, who can drink your water? Is it time to save you? Tell us, what can we do? Who can drink your water when the poison's run?
Oh, my gosh, that's wonderful.
Did you hear it?
I heard it perfectly.
Oh, good.
And everybody loves it, too, in the chat room.
So that's my lament. I mean, I guess that's one thing that maybe sounds like it's nothing, but sometimes prophetic movements begin when people weep over situations that are grievous.
Yes.
It's a way to break through the numbness, you know. We go through life numb, and if we can weep or lament or express our deep feeling, sometimes it's anger, and that oftentimes is a way to dislodge stuckness and get something new flowing. So that's part of my hope for this song.
The song does help people, or help me to feel, like you say, this feeling of compassion for the earth and for our mother, and that it's not maybe as desperate and as catastrophic as we may think. And it gave me hope to listen to that song.
Great. Well, there is hope. There is hope, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, this group of people that I know that took a trip up to the Marcellus Shale region and just talked to people. That gives me hope.
I'd love that idea. I would even love to do that.
Yeah, and talk to people and hear what they have to say. Mm-hmm. And boy, there are just so many people that are affected by this, and you know, you can Google a lot of stuff online and find number of farmers that are speaking out. We had a couple of them here in Lancaster a few weeks ago at the Community Action Forum, Community Action Lancaster. Terry Greenwood and Ron Gulla were here. They're farmers from the western part of the state. And now I hear there are two women who are dairy farmers from up north, Carol French and Carolyn Knapp. I believe they're from either Bradford or Susquehanna County. I forget which now. And they're very powerful speakers. They've started to speak out about what they're seeing and experiencing. And there was another farmer that was in the news, Bruce Kennedy. He's from Susquehanna County. It's a very, very heart-wrenching. He really touched me. He had a number of spills of various substances from the frackers on his farm. He's a fifth-generation farmer up there, and he went to the small town where his farm is near, and he erected a sign in the middle of the town. You can see photographs. One of the people from Lancaster who went up there took a picture of it. Just really pull at your heart. But he wrote this sign as a prayer, in his handwritten. He says, "Dear God, save our town." And then he chronicled some of the spills. He talks about how he and his wife have broken hearts and they're worried about their grandchildren. And he got all of that on a sign, put it right in the middle of town. I mean, that's a way to get attention.
Right, and it's also appealing to our higher selves.
Yes, exactly.
And whereas anger and grief do not, you know. That's what I like about prayer, is, I believe in you know, I've written this blog about prayer for the last year and a half, and it has helped me to access the unseen helpers. There are angels and there are unseen helpers who are there for us. If we, and they're there for us whether we acknowledge it or not. But the more that we acknowledge it, the more they will come in. Because I think, from what I understand, they only like to come when asked. So I think if we, that is a beautiful thing you just said about this gentleman writing a prayer in the center of town. That is probably did more for the whole issue than anything else ever could.
Yeah, it's powerful, isn't it? And
yeah.
In a couple of, it's been in a couple of newspapers now. I've noticed online a couple of papers have picked up, and they have the his sign, and they wrote an article around not just him, but you know, I think maybe his action triggered it, and finding other people who, a lot of times, some of the people up there just aren't willing to speak out for various reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It can pit them against their neighbors.
Right.
You know, in certain cases, if you do have lease your land for drilling, you have to sign a contract that says you won't, you know, that you won't speak out.
Yeah, it was just somebody said here in the chat room that people are being offered a large sum of money to move off the land that they've had for generations so that they can do fracking there, and if they refuse, they'll do the fracking anyway.
No, well, yeah, actually, that has happened, because you go down, you know, over a mile deep, and then they have extensions that go out horizontally, so you can go underneath people's property.
Mm-hmm.
There's some, I forget what the number is, but if you have, like, so many adjoining properties who have signed a lease, and then there's one that hasn't, they're entitled, because that's the way the law allows right now, to go and get the gas out of the one who wouldn't sign a lease.
Oh, geez.
You know, just go right underneath your, or a mile down below somebody's property, and there you go.
Mm-hmm. And they do it surreptitiously. They do it without anybody even knowing. And you're saying about that water that was there overnight without any rain, you know, that kind of thing. And Carol was saying that a lot of the workers at her hotel are all in Erie right now. And so Erie must be a place where they are doing this fracking.
Where is Carol located, do you know?
Carol, let's see, Carol, let me, she probably heard you say that. Right outside of Pittsburgh.
Oh, where she's out there, okay.
Yeah. That's probably good enough.
Yeah, just somebody who's active out in the western part of the state just told me that the medical facilities have been told not to use water from the Monongahela River to wash their equipment because of the high brine or salt content in the waters due to some of the you know, wastewater disposal in the river.
Carol says she's from Connellsville.
Connellsville?
Mm-hmm, Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay. Hi, Carol.
They're doing fracking there. Well, I think that there's a certain amount of fear about not speaking out. If the farmers are not speaking out, it might be that they're afraid and don't know exactly how to do it. So I'm just hoping that Transition Connellsville or Transition Pittsburgh or whatever can help get people to be more articulate about the problem so that they feel more empowered as they learn to express themselves, because a lot of people feel like they can't express themselves.
I know. And I
don't say that in any way to – in a judgment way. I work with people, you know, as a nurse, and I see that a lot of times people are afraid of speaking out or speaking up because they're just not quite sure how to say it. And I myself have felt like that in my life.
I think probably
all of
us have.
Common problem. Yeah, common problem.
Yeah, we have so much power though if we knew how to tap into it.
Mhm. And once again, the power of prayer is one of the ways. That was such a beautiful instinct of that man.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that. I want to know more about that.
Yeah. I've been thinking I'd like to call him and hear how he's doing. I read some of these people. I think, well, I'd like to know. I guess that's the pastoral instinct in me. I was a pastor for 30 years, and I think
mm-hmm.
I'd like to find out how he's doing. What happened after that?
Yeah, what happened to him personally? What that would be just a beautiful story to see how that changed his feeling of disempowerment to feeling more empowered.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that was probably what happened, but I would like to hear it from him.
Yeah.
How something like that happened for him.
I would hope
how
that it
felt.
Can empower the whole community.
Yes.
I am remembering now, I forgot this part, that actually people in the town were signing their names to this sign as well. So they were...
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was a
beautiful
way of showing solidarity. And I sure hope somebody will follow up and tell the rest of that story.
Well, there's a gentleman, Heather, my friend Heather's on the... in the chat room, and she says a gentleman by the name of Alex Jones, who has what is called PrisonPlanetTV.com, is getting the word out about fracking.
Good. And you're getting the word out, Kate. Thank you.
That's right. And that's part of what we all need to do in our own way, and we do it differently.
Mm-hmm.
We do it in our own way. I mean, to me, it's comfortable to do this venue of radio.
Yeah.
And didn't used to be, but it is more. Let's see, Hal Burton owns the fracking equipment. And they have plenty of money to do whatever they want and to pay off the people to get it, says Heather. Yeah. Oh, dear. The watch groups, from what Carol hears, are only permitted to monitor what the fracking groups are doing, but they are not trained to know what is okay and not okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I think education is very important, and as soon as possible, the more the better, I think, is very important, because and Alex Jones has 10 videos on YouTube about anti-fracking movement.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex Jones, we'll have to keep that
person good for
line.
Him.
Yeah.
And there are lots of videos of just ordinary people, who are in situations that are on, if you look on video, YouTube, one person to look up that really touched me is a young woman, 29-year-old hairdresser named Crystal Stroud. And she actually testified before the Bradford County Commissioners back in April, because she started experiencing, she was losing her hair and couldn't stand up, and the doctor thought she was having panic attacks. And she had the money, she was able to get her water tested, and they found out that her water well was contaminated with barium, chloride, strontium, manganese, lead, methane, radiological material, and radon from the drilling of the natural gas well that was 1,200 feet from her property.
She is not alone.
Yeah. But she gave a powerful testimony before the Bradford County Commissioners, and you can find that online.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know what? We only have a few minutes left here on the program.
Ooh. Boy, that went fast.
That's what I'm saying. Wasn't that a painless and wonderfully fun experience?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot
good.
Of fun.
I'll have you back, Jerry, because you're a wonderful guest. And it was just, I feel very hopeful now.
And I
feel like, yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. We'll get together again. We'll have breakfast again very soon.
All right.
I love
it.
Yes. And I'm going to play again the music for Mother and Child, but it is more of an extended version. So thank you, Klaus D. Jensen from Denmark. And thank you again, Jerry. Very much. I appreciate it.
Okay. Good night, Kate.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you.